1, 2, 3 to the 4. This is our 4th podcast, so sit back, relax, and strap on your headphones, because you're about to witness a podcast like none before. So Ryan, let's give them what they want.
I don't know about the rapping. That's all I gotta say. I didn't know I was doing a podcast with Drake.
Come on, man. I mean, what's the call? Consider what kind of a Monday Night Football we just experienced. It's hard to live that down.
For sure. That was quite a game.
I mean, Michael Vick showing his antics. I mean, obviously the first few quarters were kind of hard to watch if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But, man, did he ever deliver in that fourth quarter, that 72-yard bomb to Marcus Wheaton. And, wow, I mean, shades of Michael Vick from when he was in his prime.
For sure. That's kind of the player everyone expected to see back in the day. Not so much now with him getting up there in age.
No, I mean, I wouldn't even say that's a factor. I mean, even though he's like 35 years old, I mean, even though he's lost some of the velocity on his wheels, I mean, he still has arm. I mean, that arm strength on that ball, I mean, and afterwards when he told everybody that Ben Roethlisberger drew up that play, I mean, that's even that much more remarkable. I mean, obviously he was being forced to like hit his check down options in the first few quarters, and we weren't exactly seeing the true potential of Michael Vick at this stage of his career early on. But I mean, later on when they finally gave him the green light, I think Big Ben had a lot to do with that. I mean, I believe he went to the coaching staff on the sidelines and he pretty much told them, let Michael Vick do his thing. Don't you agree?
For sure. And that's the kind of leadership that Big Ben actually can bring to the table, you know, legal issues aside. But as much as it is Michael Vick's credit, what about Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, obviously he was the best player on the field. I mean, let's not take anything away from Antonio Brown, because, I mean, he's in a league of his own when Ben Roethlisberger is there. Obviously, he was facing double, triple coverage when they knew that Michael Vick was going to go to Antonio Brown. So teams easily were able to play some defense and take Antonio Brown out of the equation. But Le'Veon Bell obviously excelled as the best player on the field, rushed for 111 yards, and way to close out the game.
For sure. Takes the direct snap, gets the TD. It was a great way for him to do it. And you know what? With Bell back, that's what gives Pittsburgh the advantage, because for the first 2-3 weeks, they were so occupied trying to protect Brown, where not a field's opening up with that same coverage, and Bell could just run.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, obviously, I mean, he pulls off moves like in a Madden video game. Obviously, I'm a big Madden player, and some of the moves that he was pulling off, I mean, I don't even think I can pull them off in Madden. I mean, he's like a human jukebox. I mean, the way he's able to make defenders miss and just gain yards. I mean, just able to push the pile, find holes where there are none. And, I mean, he's just a complete power running back. I mean, for him to take the direct snap with just a few seconds left on the clock, and for him to have the presence of mind to know that he needs to extend to break the plane, I mean, I tell you what, Ryan, that was just remarkable.
For sure. In the 3 weeks that he's been back, a touchdown in all each game, 62 yards on his first game back, 129 against Baltimore last week, and then 111 this week. You know what? That rest might have helped him at the beginning of the season. They may have done him a favor.
No, yeah. I mean, what's it called? Like, any time running backs can get an extra amount of rest, it obviously helps. I mean, it's a grueling position to play for anybody. And I believe they all appreciate that extra rest. I mean, now that the Steelers are 3-2, I think that was pretty much their goal. I mean, for them to get maybe like one or two or maybe even three wins while Ben Roethlisberger is out, nobody really knows when Big Ben's going to be back. But, I mean, if they can get maybe like one or two more wins, I'm pretty sure everyone will be pretty happy in Pittsburgh.
For sure. And now the Steelers will go up on one of the harder defenses with the Cardinals next week.
Yeah, but before we get to that, let's not overlook the game in a couple nights.
For sure, the Falcons and the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons still undefeated. Who would have thought?
A lot thanks to my man Freeman.
Devonta Freeman. Obviously, I mean, he's the number one running back in the NFL right now. He seems to be rushing for like almost 150 yards a game. I mean, he's almost like scoring three touchdowns a game. I mean, I mean, this is the running back that the Atlanta Falcons have needed for quite some time, and it looks like they finally have one, Devonta Freeman.
For sure. Against the Washington D, he was able to put up 153 yards this weekend, and it's really crazy to think that that guy could run that long and still be in top shape, and considering he was questionable at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, I mean, what's it called? Right now he's got like another questionable tab, but we all know apparently it's a toe injury, but people are saying not to read too much into it. Devonta Freeman will be ready to go this Thursday night in New Orleans.
Yeah, the Saints are going to have their hands full, but you can never really quiet down the Saints.
It's true. I mean, like, the Saints do have a leaky run defense. I mean, obviously, they're only known to know how to blitz with Rex Ryan's brother, Rob Ryan, manning the defense over there. We all know he likes to bring the house on every single play. And, I mean, if that's going to be the case, Devonta Freeman should have no excuse not to escape and hit some holes hard early and often. But, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, the Falcons take their perfect record on the road. The Saints, obviously, are looking for some wins. They're coming off a tough loss. But, like you said, it's always tough to count out the New Orleans Saints at home. And Drew Brees, I mean, he can still throw it down the field.
For sure. And this is going to be a big one for the NFC South. Like you said, to see if Atlanta could keep that home streak the winning streak going. New Orleans has to try to get ahead of the Bucs here eventually. Can you imagine Breeze, the bragging rights that that will give Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot for them. I mean, obviously, the first five games haven't gone their way. Drew Brees has missed some time. I mean, like we spoke about it in the earlier podcast, I mean, Drew Brees is still trying to get a feel of this new-look offense without Jimmy Graham. I mean, he's still looking for that star receiver to emerge, and he seems to have found one, Willie Snead. Well, we spoke about him on Saturday, and looks like he's becoming a household name in New Orleans.
For sure, it's 381 yards already this season, and then you have Brandon Cooks as well.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks was always expected to be the breakout star ever since they traded Jimmy Graham. I mean, he's coming into his own. Obviously, he's a young wide receiver, so there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of process, but I mean, hopefully, sooner or later, Brandon Cooks will emerge as that player that we all thought he was going to be. And, I mean, as for who I'm going to take, I mean, I like both teams, but I think looks like the Saints, like you said at the top, they're tough to beat at home. Looks like they might be able to right the ship come Thursday night.
For sure, or it might be the curse of Jimmy Graham that just keeps on going for them. This one's definitely going to be hard to pick. I would like to see the Falcons win here, see Freeman continue his hot season, but it's going to be interesting to see what the Saints can do here.
Well, we all know it's going to be a shootout. I mean, there's some early reports saying that Julio Jones might not be ready to go as they're coming off a short week. So, I mean, that obviously, even for like fantasy owners, I mean, I would monitor that closely. I think we'll know really as tomorrow if Julio Jones will be ready to go. But if he's not ready to go, we all know the Saints defense is going to be focusing on Devonta Freeman for most of the game.
That's it, and might not open up those holes. He needs to get some yardage.
So, yeah, fantasy owners, keep an eye out.
Yeah, Freeman may not be worth the points here. See what happens.
And if you're looking for an option, if Julio Jones is not able to go, we spoke about Leonard Hankerson on Saturday. He's still getting some yardage here and there. So if you're still looking for a wideout on that Atlanta Falcons roster, should Julio Jones not be ready to go, Leonard Hankerson will be the name.
For sure. Now let's move to Sunday. The Bills off to 3-2. Their rookie QB, Tyrod Taylor, he helped me cash in this weekend. He may not be ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, reports have come out today saying that he has suffered some injuries to his knee. Some are saying it's a PCL strain. Some are saying it's an MCL strain. We haven't gotten a full concrete report yet, but like you said, I mean, all indications are pointing towards him missing this game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
And you know what the lovely part of this is? EJ Manuel, another FSU player. Hate to throw that in there again.
Exactly. If you're looking for a quarterback to fill in for you on Sunday, EJ Manuel would be a decent pickup, I believe. Obviously, he hasn't played a whole lot due to the emergence of Tyrod Taylor. But, I mean, the Buffalo Bills offense could muster something up But they do draw a tough matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals. I should say the perfect Cincinnati Bengals. And
yeah,
it looks like this team.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that team is for real. I mean, they took it to the Seattle Seahawks. The game was quite entertaining to watch. It was a back and forth affair. I believe they won in overtime. And a lot of people say the Cincinnati Bengals are a 1 month wonder, but I mean, based on what I saw on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks, looks like this team is finally for real.
For sure. AJ Green there is just loving it. 495 yards so far. But
yeah, not only AJ Green, but the number two option behind AJ Green, the tight end, Tyler Eifert. A lot of people had pegged him to be the breakout star for them last year, but obviously he was injured for most of the year, and it looks like he's picked up exactly where people thought he would be. I mean, he had two big scores last week against the Seattle Seahawks, and we all know how tough that Seattle Seahawks defense is. But he was able to get behind the coverage and be a big red zone target for them.
For sure, and as much as I would love to see the Bills kind of keep rolling here, I personally think the Bengals are walking out 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, what's it called? A lot of it will have – I mean, considering how – it depends how many practice reps E.J. Manuel gets with the first-team offense. We don't know if Sammy Watkins will be ready to go. But, I mean, if the Bills want to have a chance at this game, I believe it will have to come down to their tough defense to hold the Cincinnati Bengals offense into check.
Yeah, and is that going to be possible the way they're rolling? I personally don't think so. Like I said, I'm predicting here that Dalton just keeps on rolling. I wish I could play the Limp Bizkit song right now.
It would be hard to disagree with you on that one. But, I mean, the Buffalo Bills, they're tough to beat at home. So, if they want to, I mean, if they want to have a strong chance of winning this game, the Buffalo Bills defense could bring the house to Andy Dalton and make his life very difficult on Sunday.
For sure. And this might be EJ Manuel's way to prove himself as well. He wanted that starter job, and while he didn't have the greatest career at FSU, personally, I don't see him bringing too much flair to this game. I have no faith in him. I'm not going to lie. He's another Christian Ponder. You know, a QB that kept us within the top 25 of the college rankings, but just never had that flair to get us above.
Interesting. But, I mean, if he wants to go anywhere with his NFL career, no perfect time to shine. And potentially going toe-to-toe with a team with a perfect record such as the Cincinnati Bengals and maybe even getting the win.
Yeah, see what happens there.
And moving on to the next game, which offers another undefeated team, and that would be the Denver Broncos taking their perfect record to state of Ohio to play the Cleveland Browns and the ageless Josh McCown. Have you seen this guy lately?
Yeah, I've seen him. When he went and got hurt, I thought it was going to be Johnny Football's time, but he came back and took the reins and just kept on going.
Exactly. I mean, the way he got injured was quite scary. I mean, it's almost like he got knocked out like a helicopter. And Johnny Football filled in quite nicely in his absence. But, I mean, ever since Josh McCown has come back, like more notably, this previous Sunday, I mean, he threw for like almost over 300 yards, if not more, with three scores, obviously, and his tight end, Gary Barnidge, with that incredible catch. Have you seen that by any chance?
For sure. It was incredible. And you know what? Even Travis Benjamin had a great game.
Yeah, Travis Benjamin has been a great emergence for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, even with Johnny Football, he was always hooking up with him on the long balls. Like, I believe he's the one that caught a few Johnny Footballs, if you want to call them like Hail Marys or something.
For sure. But you know what? When we started the podcast, I ripped on the Broncos. And I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't think we'd be here saying they're 5-0.
And, I mean, the Broncos and the entire state of Denver have their defense to thank for that.
For sure. That's what's carrying their team. And you know what? It's even might be their new mantra is, you know what? Defense wins championships. Granted, Peyton has to get somebody in the end zone, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, defense does win you championship. But at the same time, your offense has to keep rolling too. I mean, your defense won shy during the regular season, but we all know the postseason is a whole different league. And, I mean, they got to get their offense together. I mean, like, obviously, Peyton Manning didn't have his best game by any means against the Oakland Raiders. I mean, I don't even think he threw a single spiral. All his balls were wobbling. He got picked off a couple of times by Charles Woodson, of all people. We all know there's some history over there. Peyton Manning was drafted first overall in that year. Charles Woodson was drafted fourth overall. And Charles Woodson had not picked off Peyton Manning until this previous Sunday.
For sure. And you know what? CJ Anderson has vented his frustration with the offense. And I just want to bring it up there. You talk about wobbly balls and how old Peyton is. I don't know if they just correlate or what, but just wait till it gets cold. Peyton loves playing in the cold, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I like Peyton Manning, so, but I mean, obviously, he needs to figure it out. I mean, but it's funny you bring up CJ Anderson. I mean, the Denver Broncos have not been able to find a run game all season long so far. It's been a bit of a running back carousel in Denver. But, I mean, Ronnie Hillman, everybody thought he was going to take number one duties after ripping off that 72-yard touchdown. But he didn't have a great game against the Oakland Raiders. And I believe he even left the game with a bit of an injury. And now people are saying that C.J. Anderson, who was such a revelation for the Denver Broncos late in the season last year, rushing for like 866 yards in the last eight games or so. I mean, he's barely been able to rush for 50 yards a game so far this season. And now we don't know if Ronnie Hillman yet is going to miss any extended period of time. But if so, it looks like C.J. Anderson is going to be the top dog once again in Denver. And, I mean, Denver has to establish a run game of some sort to give Peyton Manning some help. Because if not, this offense is really going to struggle.
You know what? Denver, like you said, you know what? Their defense is winning their games. Their offense is struggling. But if you look at their conference, if they could just – sorry, their conference, their division, if they're able just to hold it together, they should be playoff bound. But San Diego, Oakland, Kansas City with their big injury this week, they might be able to hold on.
Yeah, I mean, holding on is, I mean, they'll definitely win their division. But, I mean, I believe, like, what their message was when the season started was that we actually want to compete for a Super Bowl. To compete for a Super Bowl, that offense has to get rolling. Obviously, we're only entering week six and it's still early. But, I mean, sooner or later, they're going to have to turn things around because, I mean, they can't – I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, I'm sure we can both agree and everybody else listening would agree that the Denver Broncos wouldn't go too far.
For sure. Hopefully they'll get that offense together. Until then, that's a whole topic till next week to see what they do.
But who do you like in this game?
It's a tough one. The Chargers not the Chargers here. I do like the Broncos. I do respect Peyton for what he's done for the sport. I think their defense is overachieving right now. Can they maintain it is a different story.
Wait, I don't think their defense is overachieving by any stretch. I mean, if you watch them play, I know they lost to Marcus Ware to a back injury, but Von Miller and Keith Tlaib and a bunch of like other people on the defensive side of the ball, I think they're playing really, really well. I mean, they're pass rushing. They've got their coverages down. I mean, they're really hustling out there. Even last year, I mean, the Denver Broncos, they played really well on the defensive side of things. I mean, even from a fantasy standpoint, I believe they're the number one defense. And I don't think the defense is a problem for them. But the Denver –
Are they going to be able to maintain that pace?
I mean, if the first few weeks have been any indication, I believe so. I mean, as long as they don't start losing bodies left and right, if they can stay healthy. I mean, the injury to Marcus Ware was just an isolated incident and they all remain healthy, I think so.
It'll be interesting to see exactly what happens there. But
yeah, I mean, I'll take the Denver Broncos to prove the 6-0. I mean, if they are going to lose their perfect record, I think it's going to be no disrespect to the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're always playing some good football. But I don't see the Denver Broncos losing their perfect record to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Their defense is definitely strong. It probably will be the Broncos walking out of there, but time will tell.
Just have a few more games to talk to you about. I mean, the next game offers yet another undefeated team, the Carolina Panthers, taking their perfect record to CenturyLink Field in Seattle.
Yeah, the Seahawks 2-3, trying to end the Panthers 4-0. Jimmy Graham, he's just been a ghost. He's a shadow. I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I know Pete Carroll has been saying this week after week after week, we have to get Jimmy Graham the ball more. But we all know the Seattle Seahawks identity. They're a run-first team. And what do tight ends do in that kind of offense? Obviously, they block. And I was watching most of the Seattle Seahawks game against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. And it's no surprise to many that, I mean, on the first few downs, they're going to run the ball. And they're only going to throw the ball on the third down. Okay, very occasionally, well, they'll take a shot down the field on first down or second down. But, I don't know how they're going to be able to figure out how to get Jimmy Graham the ball. I mean, I know a lot of fantasy owners want to see Jimmy Graham get the ball more, but obviously I'm not in the room with them. But, I know they're facing a tough challenge about how to make this happen.
For sure. And you know your team's having kind of an identity crisis or struggling when your QB has the second most rushing yards on your team.
Yeah, but I think this also goes back to the fact that Marshawn Lynch has not exactly been healthy so far this season, because we all know that Marshawn Lynch is able to get those first downs in chunks, and if not more. So I think if they can get a healthy Marshawn Lynch back for this week, everybody's saying that he's going to be ready to go this week. Although Thomas Rawls filled in quite nicely. Did you see him play yet last against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday?
No, I wasn't watching that game, but I know
Oh,
on
man.
Saturday you were really hyping him up.
Yeah, man. What's it called? Thomas Rawls, obviously like an undrafted rookie. This was his second start, considering Marshawn Lynch has been injured. But he rushed for like over 150 yards. He was able to like find holes. He was able to create his own. And he's not exactly the same power runner that Marshawn Lynch is, but he's shifty. He's able to pull off some jukes. But Marshawn Lynch is a beast of his own. He's nicknamed Beast Mode, so I'm pretty sure a healthy Beast Mode would help the Seahawks even more. And fantasy owners, if you're thinking about dropping Thomas Rawls because Marshawn Lynch is coming back, I was actually reading an article earlier in the day saying that Pete Carroll was saying that Thomas Rawls, considering how well he's played, he's still going to be an option in their offense. He might get maybe 10 to 15 touches a game. So maybe you could keep him on your bench or even on your active roster if you guys are playing with a flex position. So, I wouldn't drop Thomas Rawls just yet. I have him on my roster, and I'm not sure exactly if I'm going to drop him just yet.
It'd be definitely a good option when, as we're going through the bye weeks right now.
Yeah, I could agree. That's a great advice, right? Obviously, Thomas Rawls can maybe still rack up 60 to 70 yards a game, maybe a score, which would definitely help fantasy teams all over. But going back to this matchup, the Carolina Panthers are obviously doing by committee. Everyone's contributing over there. Their defense has been solid. Cam Newton has been playing well. But we all know the Seattle Seahawks are hungry for wins, and they're a whole different team at home. So, look for the Seattle Seahawks to maybe get things right about now.
Oh, so you think they're going to go get to 500 this week?
Yeah, what's it called? They're tough to beat at home. We all know the 12th man gets into it. A healthy Marshawn Lynch. Hopefully they're able to get Jimmy Graham the ball more. Hopefully Russell Wilson can connect with some of his wide receivers down the field. And hopefully they can improve to 500 there.
But here we're talking about Seattle. Pretty much the whole game matchup has been focused around them and how they're 2-3. You know, Lynch has been hurt, and like you said, what's his name? Rawls has been running well, but who would have thought the Panthers would have been unbeaten, especially with the loss of Kelvin Benjamin right in preseason?
Exactly, like I was just saying. They're really rallying around that. They're doing by committee. Cam Newton, obviously, he's able to rush and throw the ball. He's like a young Michael Vick out there. And
Greg Olsen,
Greg
243
Olsen.
yards.
Yeah, it's amazing when you can have a tight end who can line up as a wide receiver and be a big red zone target for you. Definitely.
And
I
that
mean, it
and
proves.
and
Sorry, go
that's
ahead.
definitely that's definitely what they lost in Benjamin as well.
Yeah, what's he called? Greg Olsen fills those two positions quite nicely for them. He's able to create mismatches in the red zone, and Cam Newton's able to hit him for those scores.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I personally think the Panthers may walk out ahead here, and Seattle will start hitting panic mode instead of that beast mode button.
That's a bold statement. I'm gonna stick with the Seattle Seahawks in this one.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean,
So.
it's hard to go against the Legion of Boom at CenturyLink Field.
All right, I'll give you that one. We'll see what happens this weekend.
All right. We're only a few days away. All right.
Exactly. With the Canadian Thanksgiving that we have up here, our week is nice and short. Gives us more time to get back to
Exactly. I mean,
football.
I know our friends in the United States were enjoying Columbus Day and are obviously enjoying the baseball. It's something that hopefully we can enjoy too back in Montreal. But let's still focus on football. We still have a few more matches to talk about. Next, let's take you to Lambeau Field. Obviously, my Green Bay Packers are still undefeated. Am I
Yeah, where's the
surprised?
skip button? Where's the skip button?
Am I surprised? Nope. Is anybody else surprised? Probably not. I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers had a bit of a bizarre week. I mean, he threw, we all knew that the last time he threw some interceptions at home was like in his last 587 pass attempts. But this time against Sam Lewis, I mean, come on, we're all human. I mean, things happen. So,
Oh, but that wasn't what everyone was saying last week when every time you threw the ball, say, no, it's impossible.
yeah, I mean, what's it called? Like, one of the interceptions wasn't exactly his fault. It was batted. And, I mean, I forget who it is on the St. Louis Rams, but he had to, like, dive and just to catch it. So, I mean, and on the second interception, obviously, there was some miscommunication with James Jones, but they made up for it with a touchdown. But we all know that Devontae Adams is still nursing a sprained ankle. So, fantasy owners, if you're looking for a wide receiver to fill in quite nicely as a wide receiver three or even a two, look no further than Ty Montgomery of the Green Bay Packers. He's been quite a breakout star in the absence of Devontae Adams. He's able to prove that he can line up in the slot. He showcased some great speed on the first score for the Green Bay Packers. So Ty Montgomery will be a great addition to your fantasy team.
For sure, but let's look on the other side of the field and look what's waiting there, Philip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, obviously, we all saw his instant connection with Antonio Gates yesterday. And Antonio Gates, I mean, we would like to congratulate Antonio Gates for being yet another tight end to catch 100 touchdowns. And then he topped that up by catching another one on a beautiful route that he ran and caught an amazing score that actually put the San Diego Chargers ahead briefly. And obviously, he's still rounding up into game shape. We all knew that he was suspended for the first four games for performance-enhancing drugs. And like later on in the game, we all knew that he was feeling out of gas. But we all knew that Philip Rivers, like, he was going to be his check down option. Antonio Gates was going to be his deep ball option. And obviously, it's like they never missed a beat. But the San Diego Chargers played to win the game yesterday, but I mean, it was tough to see them lose that game. They played great for most, I'd say maybe 45 minutes of the game. Unfortunately, like the fourth quarter didn't exactly go their way. They kind of let the Pittsburgh Steelers back. But I mean, if you're looking for a defense or special teams, I would stay away from the San Diego Chargers based on what I saw yesterday.
For sure. And if you have any defense on both sides of the field for this matchup, I would suggest kind of rotating them or find someone else. I think this one's going to be a high scoring game. Look at how many yards Rivers has already thrown this season. 1,613 yards.
Wow, I think that might be tops in the NFL.
For sure. And, Danny Woodhead's having a great season. Melvin Gordon. Charger. Sorry. The Packers obviously have the highest scoring pace other than last week.
What's up?
Seriously, but I think the Chargers here are going to make a push to try to knock Denver down to AFC West. And I won't say my prediction because you won't like it.
Come on, man. We all know the Packers are going to improve to 6-0. I mean, obviously, this game is going to be a high-scoring matchup. It's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers at home. I mean, especially with all his options there, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Ty Montgomery, who's emerged quite nicely. I mean, let's not take anything away from the San Diego Chargers. I mean, obviously they showed some great offensive flair with the return of Antonio Gates. Keenan Allen had a great game once again. He was running some amazing routes. But, I mean, it'll be an interesting game to watch. It'll be one of the better games this Sunday.
When was the last time Rodgers lost at home?
I believe he's lost
this
at
week.
Home. Okay. Okay, interesting. Interesting.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, it'll definitely be one of the better games this Sunday.
For sure. That'll be one of the games to watch.
Now, focusing to Sunday night football.
The game of the week for me.
Yeah, just for you.
And when Peyton was young and still in Indianapolis, this game would have been, or is going to be, prime time, but everyone's going to be watching this.
Yeah, I mean, all eyes are going to be focused on Lucas Oil Stadium. It is exactly where, I'm just wondering, what kind of controversy do you think is going to start over here?
What do you mean by controversy?
Because, I mean, the last time the Patriots and the Colts.
Oh, the Flategate.
Brady chose to choke some innocent footballs out of air.
Hey, it got a Super Bowl ring. That's all that counts.
but I mean,
let's not talk about the controversy at the game.
No, okay, fine. Yeah, exactly. Let's leave that in the past. I mean, obviously, there's no need to bring that up.
But
sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking more so Luck or Hasselbeck.
See, now, I was actually obviously, in one of my other leagues, I'm in need for a quarterback, so I'm just looking at what kind of quarterbacks would be available. Obviously, Matthew Hasselbeck has proven to be quite a nice fill-in for Andrew Luck in the last two games, but, I mean, they're saying that no matter what, Andrew Luck will be ready to go come Sunday night.
For sure. They said he practiced fully in full today, yesterday, so it'll be interesting to see. I don't think it's a set decision yet that he's going to be playing.
Apparently, he's practiced with no limitations. So, I think, I mean, this is too big of a game. Obviously, the Colts would like to go into this game with Andrew Luck and not Matthew Hasselbeck, considering we all saw what the Patriots did to the Dallas Cowboys not yesterday, but 2 days ago.
But that's what happens when you call them out.
Yeah, but I mean, although Greg Hardy did back up whatever he did say to Tom Brady, I mean, every time Tom Brady was throwing, we all knew that Greg Hardy was breathing down his neck. He knocked it down almost every single time. But in order to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady for points, you need to have your number one quarterback out there. I mean, if for whatever reason Andrew Luck's not able to go, I mean, this is going to be an easy one for the New England Patriots.
For sure, and Deion Lewis getting his extension last week, had a quiet game this week. I could see the run game being picked up here against the Colts.
Exactly. It's funny you bring that up because the last time the Patriots have played the Colts, we all know what has happened. The Patriots have scored more rushing touchdowns than passing touchdowns.
For sure, and if Andrew Luck is good to go, it's going to be a nice game to watch for throwing in the deep ball, but like you said, the rushing game gives it a different element.
No, yeah, I mean, what's it called? Honestly, I'm hoping for a Tom Brady versus Andrew Luck showdown. I mean, on Sunday Night Football, I think that's what everybody wants to see. I mean, everybody wants to see these two number one quarterbacks going at it. And I just don't, I mean, no disrespect to Matthew Hasselbeck by any means, but, I mean, this game won't have the same flair to it if Andrew Luck doesn't play. Although we are Tuesday right now, and all early indications are saying that Andrew Luck will be suiting up for the Colts. I would keep an eye on, I mean, in terms of fantasy perspectives. I mean, I think we'll have a better picture about Andrew Luck's status tomorrow. But, I mean, I have a strong feeling that Andrew Luck will be suiting up for the Colts.
For sure. And one person that's actually really keeps making a push here is Edelman. He is now, I would say, within the top 10 receivers in the league.
No, exactly. I mean, Julian Edelman has been a great player, I mean, for the New England Patriots and for fantasy owners. I mean, he's obviously like a Wes Walker in his prime. I mean, just the yards after the catch, the way he's able to, like, break tackles, the way he's able to deke out defenders. I mean, he's just like he's the ultimate package. I mean, he's exactly what a slot receiver should be. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have the size to be a big red zone target, but, I mean, he makes up for that with everything that else that he does, like that 72-yard touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys.
Or, you know, passing the ball as well.
Yeah, we all knew those trick plays, those all disguised plays that the Patriots pulled off in the playoffs. We never know. We could see a few more of those this week against the Colts.
Well, they practiced it in preseason. It's just a matter of time.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's funny. Like, the Patriots, they have a full-out attack. Their defense has been quite noteworthy as well. We all know who the usual suspects are for the Patriots' offense. But, I mean, let's see if the Colts can get some run game going. We all know the Patriots' defense has been very strong against the run. But the Colts' run game has been very strong. We all know Frank Gore has been having a tough time breaking tackles and finding holes. But, I mean, if Andrew Luck is not at 100%, it still suits up. A healthy run game and a very strong run game would help out Andrew Luck quite a bit.
For sure. It'll be a good game. It's a good way to end Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, what's it called? I mean, this game is definitely hard to pick. But, I mean, obviously the Colts are going to be trying to avenge their playoff loss, and the Patriots obviously want to extend their perfect record. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, the smart choice would be to go with the undefeated team, but who knows? Maybe the Colts can pull off a surprise.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and I think this is going to be kind of a tuner matchup for Week 10, where the Patriots walk into the Giants Stadium and see if that kryptonite's still there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, we all know a lot of these teams are going to be wanting to keep their record perfect. I mean, it definitely helps. I mean, a lot of teams are approaching their bye weeks too. So let's see what happens. I mean, obviously, it's going to be another exciting week of football. And we'll see what it has in store.
I know you brought up bye weeks, so we might as well throw it out there. This week's bye weeks, of course, are the Cowboys, Raiders, Rams, and Buccaneers. And then we go on to Monday Night Football with the Giants and Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, an NFC East showdown. The Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants both pulled off wins last week. Obviously, the Giants pulled it off in dramatic fashion with Eli Manning yet another game-winning drive, hitting Larry Donald with a touchdown with only a few seconds left. But, I mean, let's face it, they were playing the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, I mean, the 49ers did shock many when they took the lead with, like, just about 2 minutes left. But that defense, I mean, just isn't the same as it was a few years ago in San Fran.
For sure. And going into that final drive and two of your biggest receivers hurt on the sidelines and you still managed to pull it off, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's great that you mentioned that. I mean, fantasy owners, if you have Odell Beckham Jr. and Ruben Randall on your team, please monitor their status. I mean, they both are out with a hamstring injury. We don't know if they're going to be practicing this week. So, obviously, I don't think the Giants practiced today, but we'll know more about their status tomorrow and leading up to the game. Obviously, an extra day of rest since they only play on Monday night helps. But monitor their status closely. I mean, all indications point that Odell Beckham Jr. will be ready to go because he did suit up on that final drive, but nobody knows yet about Ruben Randall.
Final drive, final play. He's able to get defense towards him and leaves Larry Donald there to open and pulls off a Beckham Jr. type catch to win.
Exactly, exactly. I couldn't have said it any better. That was a great touchdown grab.
For sure, and it was a great way to end Week 5. Now we're on to Week 6, and football full swing. I know I'm going to be watching the Patriots against the Colts. Yourself, I believe, the Packers.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, it's Sunday. I mean, I can just watch almost every other game that's on. I mean, it's one of the best days of the week.
For sure. And our phones are always blowing up, going back and forth. And that's the love of football for us.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Week 6 offers some great matchups. We'll have to see which one of these teams remains undefeated. And obviously, we're going to be doing these more consistently now. And we're definitely going to be back for week 7. So make sure to check back for our podcast detailing week 7.
Yep, that's it. Stay tuned at fantasyspikes.com. This is me and Ishmael. We have our weekly football podcast. Tomorrow afternoon, we might as well give a shout out to the Jays. I know you'll be watching, see if they continue their World Cup
quest.
Well,
yeah, I mean, what's it called? I mean,
well,
hopefully the Jays can pull it off. I mean, we all know the entire nation is behind them. We know the Chicago Cubs pulled off, I mean, pretty much clinched a spot in the NLCS against the St. Louis Cardinals. Big shout out to the Cubs. I mean, I was watching the game a little earlier before the podcast. Man, that team looks amazing.
How could you bet against the Cubs? Back to the Future told us they were going to win.
Man, you're totally on tonight. No, man,
that's what our podcasts are all about.
Exactly. I mean, I'm pretty sure all our listeners are enjoying. Just make sure that you leave any comments in the comment box below. We really appreciate your feedback. And if there's anything that you want us to cover, let us know. We're obviously very well acquainted with the NFL, the NHL, and Major League Baseball with the playoffs in full swing. See what I did there?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. All right, guys, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Sound hot?